You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
The mic's hot?
Now they are. All right, they've Dan, count us back in.
They've been hot.
Yeah.
As soon as you got here, isn't that the way that works with you? You get in and mics get hot.
Just keep them hot all the time.
You didn't answer my question, though. If I made you sort of rank it on how it is that you felt about the you're down five with 28 seconds left. Yeah. You believe in this team. I believe this team is going to break your heart because I fear that the Celtics are better than everyone in the conference.
Frauds.
But what you saw last night reinforces the notion that 100%. Porzingis might not be trusted in that spot.
No,
the durability of a Hyman is what my brother
exactly,
said.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Juju for quoting me. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Since Lou's not here, Juju's getting all the thank yous today.
But last night wasn't a durability problem. It's that he was in the post with guys that were 9 inches shorter than him, and he wasn't passing out of it to create the threes or even making the turnaround jumpers that they needed him to make.
You know what I'm saying? Durability is a compound word. Part of that word is ability. You know what I'm saying? So his durability and his ability.
He put the durability.
You know what I'm saying? Because he's out there catching the ball in the post, looking like Jesus on the cross. And you know what I mean? You got a 5'6 guy on you, and you're not making nothing happen. So what are you doing? Chris Stapps? You know what I mean? So, yeah, hey, you know what I mean? Phil Jackson was wrong. Okay? I delight in saying that. Phil Jackson, you were wrong. Okay, if you're still alive. I don't know if you are. I'm sorry.
Whoa, that'd be a $50 fine if you just killed Phil Jackson.
He's still with us.
He was asking. He's still with us? All right, cool. I just had to Google it. You know what I'm saying? That's why.
Who is the most hated figure
in
Knicks history, according to you? Like, in terms of because Phil Jackson would be pretty high on the list.
Yeah,
falling
yeah.
asleep on the subway.
Yeah.
Trying to do the Pat Riley thing, lazy.
Yeah, I guess so. But honestly, it's funny. I had this conversation last night, like poolside over many, many, many bones. It's Mike, man. It's Michael Jordan, dog. Like, if you're a real Knicks fan and you grew up and you were young, because I was young in the 90s. Like, I was like, you know, like junior high, elementary school. So Mike broke my heart every year. So he is like the ultimate villain because unlike Reggie Miller, unlike Alonzo Mourning, all those other guys, we could beat them. It's like, yo, you're beating these guys. You have a chance. With Mike, it was like, ah, man, now it's Thanos now.
But I was talking to you about like in-house, somebody who did damage to your organization from inside the house? Yeah, because Phil Jackson, when you mentioned Phil Jackson, I was thinking about where Knicks fans will get rabid on you fouled all this up.
Phil Jackson, bro. It was Pat. It was like a bunch of guys. It was a bunch of different front office people, like just doing dumb stuff. But it is undoubtedly Phil Jackson. You know why? Frank Ntilikina, dog. You wasted a lottery pick on Frank Mother Ntilikina, my guy. You know what I'm saying? You did that. And for that, I will never forgive you. That is a forever wound in my spleen, dog. I don't even say heart. Like my liver. You know what I'm saying? Another vital organ. Like, he deflated one of my lungs with that pick. Asshole.
Do you guys have a refrán del día? You said you have one here for
como no, como no.
Oh,
and you're going not Cuban this time. You're
vamos dominicano.
Vamos esto.
Pal pana mío.
Par patio. Vamos par patio.
Mira, look.
Con Danielito, Tommy Tigre.
This is what we're going to do.
Con Christopher, con Juju, con Miguel,
Dile,
con Tony, con Jessica. You know what I'm saying? Todo el mundazo está aquí, coño.
Listo. So instead of doing a Cubified thing as we usually do, my Dominican brother's here. We're going to do it Dominican style. So I'm not even going to give him one. I'm going to give him a bunch, Ooh. Rapid fire, and he's going to explain to the crew and explain yes. to the world what these things mean or what he likes out of these things. So we'll start here. ¿Qué lo que?
Oh, que lo que, bro. Oh, I love it. I love it. Que lo que works. Also, if you look Dominican, but you're not, you could get away with anything. If you just be like, que lo que, you walk into a party, you don't know nobody. Que lo que, hey, que lo que, hey, way. And you just throw a way after it, way, que lo que, Or a smile and a point, like the, you know what I mean? Like Will Smith in the Miami video, where he's like, hey, dímelo, no, hey, que lo que, Clinton.
And you can connect with anyone from there, right?
Second one. This one you have to explain because there's levels to it. I call it niveles de vaina.
Sí.
Explain what vaina is and how you can use it in certain ways.
Vaina is literally an all-purpose word, bro. You know how in like when you coming up, I don't know about the Florida education system, but New York, my teachers used to be like, yo, don't use the word nice. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a dumbass word. Like it means nothing. It means everything and nothing all at once. You know what I'm saying? So that to me is vaina. You know what I'm saying? But in a good way, not in a bad way.
Like dame esa vaina.
Dame esa vaina. ¿Cuál es tu vaina, Daniel?
Isn't coño in Cuban sort of an all-purpose word? The same sort yes. of all-purpose, like you can use it yes. 17 different ways you and can you just, can't yeah. explain to anybody what all of them mean.
Vaina, in the simplest terms, is that thing. Pásame esa vaina. Give me that thing over there. Pásame esa vaina. Febrisi. El que está allá. Febrese. Pásame Febrese. You know what I'm saying? Esa vaina. Toda la vaina.
Who is someone that can fool you with a que lo que that's not Dominican but can pass? With mm. it? I'm setting the bar at Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan, definitely. Tracy Morgan looks like all my uncles. that's why I love him. You know what I'm saying? That's my tío. Also, I was talking about this yesterday. Daniel Sinjata. Y'all know, I know it's like, he doesn't have name, he don't got name recognition, but if you Google him, if you bring up a picture of Daniel Sinjata, he could be anything, dog.
Un que lo que. Un tigre.
Un tigre. He could be Dominican, he could be Puerto, he could be Middle Eastern, he could be Sicilian. You see what I'm talking about?
I just Googled him, I can't believe it, you're totally right.
Boom, look at this. Who wow. What are you?
Que lo que?
Yo.
He was on POW, I know his ass.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Rescue Me.
Yeah, Rescue Me. Show. Yes, yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm going to bring yeah. somebody in from the outside that I think can fool you if they say que lo que.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As we do that, explain to people La 42.
La 42. Oh, baby. La 42.
La 42 for the real ones.
La 42. If y'all, it's The Wire is a classic show, right? So I'm going to go off the assumption that y'all are all familiar with the show The Wire. La 42 is a healthy version of Hamsterdam. You know what I'm saying? It's just turned up all the time.
¿Qué lo que?
Calle 8. ¡Eh, de los medios personales!
¡4K!
Taylor!
Hold on. Stay right there, Taylor. Talk Knicks basketball with Mero since you're the secret Knicks fan that we have here. But do it in Dominican.
Papi, ¿qué tú crees? Dime. Dame luz.
Put him in a bad spot. You got this, Taylor. Impossible spot.
Just do it. Yo, use the trick, bro, that I taught you. I just taught you the trick 20 seconds ago.
Que lo que? Que lo que? He's a slow learner.
He's
a
terrified.
Fan. He's a Knicks fan who's Loco, scared.
¿Cómo tú te sientes de los Knicks ahora mismo en este momento?
How do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent work, Taylor.
You know
I appreciate also, all your help.
Dominican, yo, Taylor could be Dominican because you don't even got to talk if you're Dominican, really. You just talk with your hands. Be like, nah. How you feel about the Knicks? Eso lo que está. Eso lo que está. Una vaina bien. Ratata.
That's where you can use vaina. Una vaina tremenda, vaina.
Una vaina bien, loco. Una vaina increíble.
Tell them about los tres golpes.
Oh, los tres golpes. Yo, los tres golpes is wild because this is how you know. This is why Dominicans are the best baseball players. Because you're working against yourself when you have tres golpes for breakfast. You know what I mean? Because people don't know. For that, those of y'all that don't know, you know what I'm saying? Tres golpes is a traditional Dominican breakfast that consists of mango, which is mashed plátanos, a.k.a. plantains. If you're born here, plantains. Mashed plátanos, green, not sweet, with salami frito, like fried salami, queso frito, fried cheese, and fried eggs. You know what I'm saying? So you eat that, bro, that sticks to your ribs.
Well,
bro,
literally translated, that's three hits.
Three
right?
hits. So, like, those bam, bam,
so you're
bam.
Doing three terrible fried things to your organs.
For breakfast.
Just coming out of the gate aggressively Dominican.
Aggressively Dominican at 6:45 in the morning, right before you hop in your Lincoln Town Car and get to work.
What, you know what brings you to Miami? I did not know you were coming. You announced it. Not that you need excuses to come to Miami. You have been absorbing this city for a long time.
I feel like I'm part of heat culture now. You know what I'm saying? It feels blasphemous to say. You know what I mean? But heat meaning like, because I'm hot. You know what I mean? I'm popping. Manjaro Romero in the building. Look at the traps.
You're not answering my question. You're flexing. You're not saying why.
All he's got to do is flex.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm here to, I'm doing a series with MLB and Corona called La Vida Más Fina, where I speak to and highlight Latino ball players, you know, from around the league.
The fine life.
The fine life. You know what I'm saying? Last episode was with Nick Castellanos, Cubano.
Lo vi. Estaba tremendo, papi.
You know what I'm saying?
Está buenísimo.
Muchas gracias. Te lo agradezco. Shout out por el apoyo. You know what I'm saying? And today, I will be, when I leave here, I will be kicking it with Luis Reyes. And from the Marlins, local Miami legend Luis Arraez, you know what I mean? And we're gonna play the show and eat arepas, you know what I mean?
Tengo unas cuantas más, Dan. I don't know if I can interject here for very quick.
You can, but Refrán del Día was supposed to be one phrase. And
no,
we're
it's
now
too big. He's in person. All it's right. too big. Okay, we can't contain it to one phrase. This is gonna be a either or, okay?
Vamos.
El Alfa o Rochi?
Oh.
Dime.
Yeah, yo, you put me in a
Dime.
Oh man, this is like.
Can you explain to the people Dembo? First off, those are two Dembo artists from Dominican Republic.
Yes.
Can you explain who they are, why they mean so much to the country?
So El Alfa is a Dembo artist. If you don't know what Dembo is like Dominican street party music. You know what I mean? It has roots in like reggaeton and dancehall and all that kind of stuff.
Can I play a little something?
Yes, am I gonna please, get, okay, please play? Listen, if you're gonna play something. Come on, man.
That's pretty good. That'll get you.
There you go. That's a lot for them.
Yo, by the way, I did MLB All-Star, and I had Bryan Cranston dancing to Dembo. Yo, like, that's real video. Bryan Cranston with a long ass white beard hitting the. Could you block at home plate. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Brian.
I love that song that translates to just put it in, take it out, put it in, take it out.
4K though. That's the most important part. Brugal or Barcelo?
Brugal, papi, con la mallita. Tú sabes que cuando no hay cuarto, uno bebe un puchín de lavagallo. You know what I'm saying? Like
most people don't know what you're saying.
Brugal or Barcelo, rum. Two different rums.
Yeah. And what they call lavagallo is, you know, in various Caribbean Latin nations, they partake in cockfighting. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about like, you know, like Dawn Staley versus Iowa. I'm talking about like two.
Oh, come
two,
on. Come on. Come on.
We're, yeah, that was a dad joke. I'm sorry.
7 p.m. in Brooklyn is the show with Carmelo Anthony. It is every Thursday. Stephon Marbury is this week.
That's right.
That has to be great. No, always good week. Seeing you. Thrilled for your success.
My guy. Let's go.
Gracias, señor.
Gracias a ti, papi.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Don Libertard.
It's a 3. The crowd goes into a delusion. Winning in the playoffs, not an illusion. It's a heat check. He's on fire.
Stugats.
Carry us, Jalen Brunson. Comes up clutch. That's why we won. New York knows you are the best. Not the joke no more.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
That's right. It's time for Thursday Thunder. I'm pushing through, gonna fight through. Thursday Thunder is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Juju, do it.
We are back in the building, baby. And if you bet Thursday Thunder last week, you won, because DraftKings had their special. If you win your money line bet instantly if your team takes a 2-0 lead. And the San Francisco Giants did just that. So salute. Getting money everywhere.
It's the most dangerous lead in sports. Being up to.
All righty. You already know where we're going. The association, baby. The New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers are playing tonight in Philly. That means the veteran presence has to step up for the Knicks. It's going to be turbulent. It's going to be a wild place. I think Meek Mill is going to be there. So I'm going with the big dog, Bojan Bogdanovic. 7.5 points. He's going to hit that. I'm going over on that. Veteran leadership, baby. What you got to say about that, Dan?
I thought that you were going to win the other day when you got the first two legs of something, and then Herb Jones, you needed him to go 11.5 over on points, and he failed us.
Yeah, but the caveat was, if you made that bet because the 49ers, the Giants were in it, you won instantly on Thursday. So that was just for us.
I'm just saying, you've been on a hot streak. If people are taking your bets individually, it's been a long time since you gave an assembly, a number of bets, and had more losers than winners inside of it. Juju, over the last, 25 picks he's made, has gotten like basically 4 or 5 wrong. And so you've been on quite the hot streak. I'm going to follow you until the wheels fall off.
Oh, you just jinxed us. But we are going. Now we're going to take it to the next game, the late game tonight, guys. We're gonna have to stay up tonight, baby. We got Billy Gill. We got his draft show. So we're gonna be up already. So we're going with the Denver Nuggets to win the game, baby. Moneyline Denver. I think it's fool's gold. That game we saw last game was LA Lakers' best shot, and they still lost. Anthony Davis, what you say? He was in a sea of ass, sweaty ass, at the end of the game. So I think that's going to have some residue. Kulo.
Sweaty ass
and
residue.
Staying within that game, I'm going to go with the point guard, D'Angelo Russell. He's had some rough games, bro. He had some shaky stuff that happened that really swung the momentum of the last couple of games. So I think him back in front of that home crowd, he's going to be juiced down 20 points. So he's going to go over 17.5 points tonight, Daddy. That is Thursday Thunder. Lock them in. Thank you, everybody in America. And remember, if I lose, you choose my punishment, baby.
I don't know why you keep doing that. That seems excessive, and it seems like a form of self-flagellation that's not necessary. You are giving your best.
It feels necessary. It's implied. He likes costumes. It's a
You are giving your best to these picks. You are doing a great job with these picks. You've done them better than anyone around here, so salute to you. I want to play.
Picked the Heat yesterday.
She did.
And
she
you
did.
Were like, well, that's terrible analysis.
Well, it was terrible analysis.
But it was correct analysis.
It was, but it was terrible analysis. You can be, okay, I'm glad we talked about it. Joakim Noah is on South Beach Sessions tomorrow, and I've heard a lot of people talking here recently in a way that gives me some recoil because, for example, Paul Pierce comes on yesterday, and he sounds like an old head complaining about an assortment of different things that the young people aren't doing that he and his guys did. Joakim Noah is very careful about criticizing anyone in public. He is somebody who doesn't want to take the route of being someone who brings attention to himself because he's ripping a lot of other people. But he brought up something when it came to Joel Embiid's reaction to being heartbroken about losing that way to the New York Knicks. It seems like Joel Embiid, even though he is all, you know, size and muscles, it seems like he is of his age. He's someone who cries leaving the court and falls down without worrying about how you're going to receive it because it's heartbreaking to lose against Kawhi Leonard on a bounce. And he cares deeply. He's trying so hard that he's taking God knows how many needles to be out there. And so after the game, he just looks broken when he's saying we're a better team. We're going to win this series, and he physically has got his head down, and Joakim Noah had a problem with all of it.
I have a hard time understanding how this person fits with that person, though. They seem like two different entities in terms of how you carry your way through life and who you had to be in the furnace.
100%. 100%. I mean, I think everybody is. It's interesting. Just even watching the games now is... It's interesting. You know, I watched yesterday the Knicks come back, win that game against the Sixers. And, you know, Joel Embiid's going to have to live. That one, that was a tough loss yesterday. You got to mentally get yourself right for game three. And I'm seeing him do the interview yesterday, head down. I was like, it's not just about how you're feeling. You're the leader in this locker room. You got to conduct yourself a certain way. It's different. As much pain as you're in, the other guys in the locker room can't see you with your head down like that. That's just, I'm just, and you know, it's one of the reasons why I don't love, it's, I'm not saying that to critique. I'm just saying this as, it's just my opinion.
I've told you guys the story before of Allen Houston, the ball is dancing on the rim, and the Knicks as an 8 seed beat the Heat as a 1 seed, and Pat Riley realizes he's got to blow the whole thing up with Jamal Mashburn and everything else. And Pat Riley is at his desk weeping as the coach of that team, and Alonzo Mourning comes in to the locker room and tells Pat Riley, in uniform, do your f***ing job. Get out there and talk to those people. You're the leader. You can't be in here all broken. It's about everybody. It's not just about you. I understand why Joel Embiid would feel it's almost all about him. I don't know the correct way to lead in a situation when you're fundamentally emotionally broken.
Did you see what Goran Dragic said? Remember, through his early struggles, Pat Riley straight up came up to him and said, we don't pay you for this shit. So just anytime you think I'm too tough on Terry Rozier,
The thing about...
I see what you do. You can't do that.
Which part can he do?
That's not the same thing, but I digress. Nope. You're my brother.
It is not the same thing, and you have not digressed. One of the other things...
Look, man, I didn't wake up one day and decide I was going to be the only person keeping it real with the Miami Heat. I woke up one day, and everybody else just ceased keeping it real.
How is this still where we are?
Well, I was trying to move away from it, but he's remaining there. Joakim Noah also had... And I don't know how you guys would react to this, because I reacted in a way that was really surprised to playing for him the video of the woman who was giving him the middle finger when he walked off the court after being ejected. She had a middle finger in his face, and then we read afterward that she had a suspicious murder in her past, allegedly, because... This is Maximum Miami, and that's how we do things around here. But how do you guys imagine? I put in front of Joakim Noah this photograph of him leaving the court. How would you imagine that Joakim Noah would react to all of what I'm presently showing you?
That became a thing on the internet, but I imagine it's something that's way more important to fans than it is to Joakim Noah.
I would think, man, that was pretty nasty. How strange. Why did that happen?
I wonder if she's murdered anybody.
People are real assholes. I guess that would be my reaction.
The thing that I had not accounted for and was taken aback, and we'll play this at some point because it's super awkward. I got the reaction all wrong. And when you say fans care more than the players do, not this particular player. This particular player is looking at that and saying, I'm glad I didn't see her because of the level of his rage. And I say to him, thinking I'd misread it, oh, the disrespect of a human being is putting feels entitled enough to walk up to a 6'10 man in a moment of pain to put an F-U right in his face. And he's like, nah, I still hurt because we lost that game by 30. And I'm getting ejected, and I'd let everybody down. And one of the things he's saying is, I have scars here that have not healed. I care in a way, he's saying, that make losses, failures in front of people, a near-death experience. Do you know how much pain I have to play through to even get out there? Do you know how much I have to care to be Joel Embiid and not just do the thing I'm best at in front of people, but to fail in front of thousands of people and have them say after the game, hey, broken guy, keep your head up. You got to care so much that you're also strong enough in this situation to be broken, but pretend for your teammates that you're not. Pretend for the public that you're not, because the public can't be trusted with your vulnerability. They're going to be cruel about it. You have to appear strong even in moments when you're not. I think people who watch these games and think they care more about the thing that they're watching than the people who are being embarrassed in front of others and are hugely prideful about not wanting to be embarrassed. I think we misread all the time how much these people care and why Joel Embiid would be broken in that situation and how annoying it would be to be Joel Embiid broken in that situation and have everyone have an opinion about how you shouldn't look that broken in that situation.
And I mean, Joel Embiid's been through this on multiple occasions. He lost the Game 7 bounce that went in for Kawhi that eliminated a team in the Sixers that might have gone on to win a title then and validated his career. And now he has this ending against the Knicks. It's got to be exhausting to go through that and have that be the singular criticism of your career.
And the Brunson 3 late in that game had
same
a weird
bounce.
So that's pretty hilarious. Sixers have had some bad luck with bounces.
Right, and we see the way that people react to players showing emotion. I mean, the way people reacted to Chris Bosh crying when he was down here and the amount that he cared. It wasn't, hey, look how much this guy cares. It was, oh, come on, suck it up.
Let's think about the lack of accountability in general around us when we make a mistake. And let me put this in front of you now. You've scored 30 plus points on one leg. You're clearly injured. God knows how many needles you're taking. Not only do you get beaten by that bounce when you're up 5 with 28 seconds left, but then the next day you get the report of Brunson had a foul, Hart had a foul, and also Nick Nurse clearly should have gotten the timeout. Hey, Joel, do more. Make the referees better. Joel, do more. Joel, why are you broken after the game? Do more. They need you tonight. Save your season, MVP. Save your season. Don't cry on the court. Beat the Knicks now.
Mental health, brother. Like, I keep those brothers in my prayers because I know the weight of the world is on their back with the cities and all of that. So much respect to all those brothers.
Don Le Batard.
Cheaters never prosper.
Stugatz.
I ain't cheating.
This is the Don Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
There was very exciting movie news that popped up on my social media feeds that it got me so excited when I first saw it, but I've seen all these fake news articles about movies. I had to really do a deep dive and find out if this was legit. And it is. Face Off 2 is in development. Face Off was, for its time, in the late 90s, arguably the premier action movie. John Woo, what a moment, what a guy. Now, I don't know if you recall how Face Off ended. Cash or Troy?
I don't.
Spoiler alerts all over the place. This is one of the two successful movies of all time that has involved a plot twist that involves pulling your face off.
I've never seen it.
So the reports are that both John Travolta and Nicolas Cage are back in to reprise their roles of Sean Archer and Caster Troy.
How?
Well, it was amazing acting because they played both of them. Yeah. John Travolta took his turn as Sean Archer, and then Nicolas Cage took his turn as Sean Archer. John Travolta knocked Caster Troy out of the park and somehow outperformed Nicolas Cage doing Caster Troy. Peach, I could eat a peach for hours, the whole deal. It was incredible. It's maximum Cage.
John Travolta did a better Nicolas Cage than Nicolas Cage is what you're claiming in Face Off.
Right, so there's a part where it ends on this crazy high-speed chase with bad body doubles in like a speedboat, and it crashes onto the shore. And at one point, like the vocal thing that is on Nicolas Cage to make him sound like Nicolas Cage, even though he's actually John Travolta in this moment, because he hates Caster Troy because he killed his son Michael. And he does this weird thing with his hands over people's face, and it was just traumatic for him. So he gets stabbed with like this spear, and Caster Troy, who has the face of Sean Archer, is like, well, you're still going to have to look at my face in the mirror. And then he starts taking a knife to his face, and Nicolas Cage is just screaming, die! But remember, Nicolas Cage is Sean Archer. They load him in an ambulance, and they have to save the face so Sean Archer can walk back into Joan Allen's house, who has already been convinced, man, you want to talk about a mind bleep, that she's had sex with Caster Troy. Even though it looked like Sean Archer, but
John Travolta, her husband. What could she have known? It looked just like her husband.
Daddy's got a brand new bag. He walks into the house. Everything's fine. That's Face Off. How can we possibly make a sequel?
Exactly.
We're making a sequel.
How?
Well, the screenwriter says he was never convinced that Caster Troy was dead. So that's one way. I mean, he got loaded into an ambulance and they had to save the face. What if he never actually died? Or what if it was Pollux Troy, bye bro, the entire time? But how about this for a pitch on Face Off 2? It's not actually a sequel to Face Off. Instead, it is Nicolas Cage and John Travolta acting out what they did to prepare for Face Off. Because I don't know if you know what they did to prepare for Face Off.
I do not, but I do know that John Travolta did a very good Nicolas Cage.
So the legend is that Nicolas Cage and John Travolta went to some isolated cabin somewhere for like roughly 10 days and studied each other. I swear to God, that's why John Travolta did such a good Nicolas Cage. Can you imagine being a fly on the wall over the course of 10 days?
I'd watch that as Face Off too. Well,
that's essentially, you could make The Lighthouse again.
Yes,
by having the two of them go completely insane. That sounds like the plot of The Lighthouse.
The Lighthouse. 100%.
That's amazing.
I need them only interviewed. Can you get them on South Beach Sessions? We'll promote Face Off to the cows come home. But I need an in-depth, long podcast series on the 10 days spent where John Travolta and Nicolas Cage studied each other.
Can you guys please find for me Till the Cows Come Home? I'm not an outdoorsman. I'm not a farmer. I don't know why cows come home. I don't know if that takes a long time. It must take a long time, but I don't know why or how that takes a long time. Is John Woo also the director? There were a lot of slow motion doves released in
that
movie.
Thing, yeah. Yeah, that's his thing. Two things that John Woo invented, the doves and double guns, double handguns. Those are John Woo's signature things.
I have said before on this show that there has never in the history of cinema been a good movie where someone peels their face off as a plot twist, but I have been corrected by both Face Off and Silence of the Lambs.
And Mission Impossible.
I argued against that. I think
the greatest Fallout's the greatest action movie of all time, and it has a face peeling off. And the greatest, I think that's the Wolf Blitzer one, which is like the craziest reveal out of all the reveals.
I believe it's what started the conversation that made me maintain that you can't have the plot twist be, oh, I've been fooled, that person can pull off their face.
You think that Mission Impossible cannot fool you with a face reveal, and then they do the Wolf Blitzer
one. It fooled me.
I
can't dispute that it did fool me. I was not expecting. Yes, Wolf Blitzer was, you don't know this? I don't want to spoil it, but at one point I thought Wolf Blitzer was actually there as a part of the proceedings, but nope, turns out they just peeled off Wolf Blitzer's face, and the bad guy had been foiled, because how could he expect that Wolf Blitzer was actually Tom Cruise?
Shout out to Scooby-Doo. Really ahead of the curve.
They showed this terrorist who was convinced, because he was recovering in a hospital bed, that he actually carried out his mission of detonating a nuclear device. And they had CNN news reports on the TV, and Wolf Blitzer was doing a news report on it, and he actually ends up fessing up and giving the IMF all the information that he needs. And after he does that, the doors of the hospital, it's a facade, stage doors open up, Wolf Blitzer takes his face off, and it's Tom Cruise. I mean, what a moment.
Did you guys see the Jennifer Lopez film yet? Because there's it's not a face, no one's face is coming off, but there is a reveal in the credits of that movie that have left me reeling, honestly, for months.
It's honestly atop my docket, but now we're in playoff time.
It's only
an
hour long, it's very short.
I'm not watching any of these baby reindeer shows. I'm not, pop culture for me ceases to exist.
Mike, I'm with you. To be fair, I'm really behind on everything. It's just sports are coming out of my eyeballs right now. The draft is tonight. I haven't done nearly enough draft prep. I'm going to be doing draft prep in the hours leading up to the draft show when I have to come back here with Chris later. I mean, it's been brutal. This spring has been the sportsiest of all the springs.
The Jennifer Lopez movie was panned by all. She made it herself, correct? She decided.
I think she funded it herself, and she was the star of it, and it was very weird. But honestly, it wasn't unentertaining. So
what was weird about it, though?
I don't know what it was for or what it was. I don't understand why it exists. But otherwise,
The quintessential vanity project, in that no one really wanted to support it financially. She had to figure out how to do this.
Worth it for the reveal.
And you don't want to spoil it.
Spoiling it.
But it stayed with you for months in a way.
I'll never forget it.
I heard Ben Affleck say, we shouldn't put this out. And then she put it out. So, yeah. Spoiler alert.
Supplementally, I've heard that you also have to watch the documentary, The Greatest Love Story Never Told, which is actually being told.
Because the sports are coming out of my eyeballs, Dan. Mm.
What an odd thing that must be. If what you're reporting is there is accurate, Juju, you've made a thing. Your husband says to you, after you've poured your heart into that thing, you shouldn't put that out. What an awkward thing that is for the people involved.
But he's part of it.
Yeah, the reporting was that he kind of advised at the beginning, hey, are you sure we should be doing this? And then ultimately just decided, all right, well, if we're going to do it, I've got to try to help.
Valerie must say that to you often.
About the
Why
costumes?
Are we putting that out?
The idea that she would care about something that deeply and early on, a piece of art that personal, and that her husband would say, are you sure about that? That doesn't sound, it sounds like good advice, but also not support. And I can't imagine, the reason that I was stunned by that, I can't imagine J-Lo taking that advice from anybody if she's done this personal a project. I can't imagine anyone in the world could tell that person, not her husband, not anybody, you shouldn't put that out without that landing hurtfully.
I'm just running through the scenarios in which 25 years later, you need Sean Archer and Caster Troy to both switch each other's faces once again. Is it because of Caster Troy's son? Is that it? Is that how you reach him?
Is it like they're peeling off the skin? Or is it like a mask?
No, they actually take the faces off.
They don't actually take the faces off.
No, they do.
Off.
No, that's like the procedure.
We should do that with Billy and Tony. Face off each other and then say, stay over there and you come back as Billy. And yeah.
They take the faces off and then Margaret Cho dies.
Do they have like scars from the...
No, it was really like ahead of its time. They even do a little lipo and they address the hair.
Fat removal.
How are they going to address the hair with Nick? Because I don't know if you saw the Oscars. He looked great. He's finally got a system in place that works. I don't know how we do this. Because you imagine, while Caster Troy, his hair is not Nicolas Cage's hair. You got to maintain that late 90s receding hairline. I mean, so many questions for where they go with this. Number one, John Woo has to come back for it. Or do you think he's like, that's ridiculous. It's 25 years later.
I've already released all the doves in slow motion. I
guess I could do three guns.
Mike, when you said you heard movie news that made you, I don't know, your ears perked up a little bit, it reminded me of movie news that I read the other day, which was that an executive at AMC, I guess, was like, paraphrasing here, but if we knew you guys were going to be weird about the Dune popcorn buckets, we wouldn't have made them. And as I was reading it, I did feel a little bit of shame.
I mean, anything that has that kind of cylinder is going to be made a thing. But I love what Ryan Reynolds did with it, which is he demanded of Marvel execs and Disney execs that they also have a sexually suggestive popcorn bucket for Deadpool and Wolverine. I know that there's been a couple of stabs, a couple of things that have gone viral that are not actually real, because I don't think... Maybe Ryan Reynolds does want you to f*** his face, but I don't actually think that that's going to be allowed.
But I think the studios maybe are like, they pay someone like from a shitposter account to put up a fake one just to see what the reaction will be. Be like, will someone on the internet be able to have sex with this? We're just going to put out feelers.
That needs to be the first question a movie theater exec asks. If the popcorn bucket can be something some people can have sex with. If the answer is no, back to the drawing board.
I feel like it's always yes.
Deadpool and Wolverine opened. Its trailer opened as the most watched thing in the history of the internet upon arrival. By so many people so fast because of how popular everything around that is.
I mean, Goosebumps, when they both jump into the portal, the endgame portal, are they going to find themselves in that scene? That's wild. I'm such a nerd. Just a big nerd.
Face Off 2 will be bigger than Deadpool Wolverine.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So, when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite, less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.